This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
1, 2, 1, 2, this is In The Conversation, and
we are
all
here!
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir Camayo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! That was a lot. Sorry about your eardrums.
Regulated.
We are back. It's In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon, and as always, on my right-hand side, I got...
The one and only, El Profesor Vladimir Camaño.
Oh, shit. And on my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, you know what I'm saying? Legend of the fall.
Oh, shit.
I'm about to get this shit in.
All right. Live in stereo, everybody in the building at the table. Together, the triumphant.
Trifecta.
Uh-huh. This is a rare situation. But we all in the business.
No doubt.
Highlight of my week.
There it is. I'm glad to see y'all, man. First of all, I haven't been here in a minute. I've been gone at least 2 weeks. I just want to shout out because I've been listening to the conversation. I'll stay in the conversation.
Thank you, brother.
No, of course.
Now, appreciate your
highlights, as you would say.
Support.
Yeah. But I just want to shout out our past guests, Aviva Klein and Felicia Megan Gordon for two really, really deep and like really good, thoughtful episodes.
No doubt. And for everybody who actually gave feedback from last week, all of the brothers who got in the DM, you know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that later in the show.
We're going to talk about we're going to talk about that. But anyway, man, it's good to be here. Labor Day was yesterday. We are in the fall officially, I guess. First of all, how was your Labor Day? How'd your summer wrap up? What you thinking?
It was great, man. I hung out with my family. I'm in New York for a little bit, so I hung out with Pops. We chilled in the crib. I hung out with my older brother, Frankie.
Okay.
You know, Frankie Sharp, Big Chief, Salsa Dance Extraordinaire.
What y'all do?
What do we do, man? I had shows all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Took Monday off, and I just chilled with them. Saw Narcos.
Okay, with the family?
My father may jump in there because it's one of the few shows that has a lot of Spanish.
Right.
And I think he can actually get into it, so I'm trying to pull him into the series.
Let me ask you this. As a Latino, you're not Brazilian. You're not, you know.
Colombian.
Not Colombian. Pardon me. He's Brazilian.
The guy that played Pablo. Pablo's Brazilian.
Right. It's been a good amount of pushback from my Latino friends who were like, that is one thing that gets them from fully enjoying Narcos is the fact that the accent is off. Did that bother you?
The accent is off. It comes out in particular points. He's overemphasizing the Spanish sometimes. And it just makes you wonder, casting-wise, they couldn't find, you know.
A Colombia?
And then also.
But that guy is pretty good, though.
I mean, think he's damn good, but I'm not Latino.
Yeah, I'm not Colombian.
But, and yeah. I wonder if you're a Colombian and God forbid you play Pablo wrong as a Colombian.
Or what is the consequence of playing him in general?
In general.
You know what I'm saying?
And living in Colombia at the same time.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm sure he's not universally loved, you know, in Colombia.
Yeah.
So...
I wonder if any Colombians passed on it. Like,
I'm
not reading on that one. No. Pop, that pop.
They did the same thing on Queen of the South, which is a show on USA that just got picked up. The lead actress is supposed to be Mexican.
Yeah.
She's played by a Brazilian.
But, you know, shit. On The Wire, Idris was from London playing a cat in Baltimore.
Uh-oh.
And his accent jumped out every now and again, you know. And it kind of threw you off a little bit. But I still enjoyed it. I enjoyed him as Stringer Bell.
Jax on Sons of Anarchy is from, I want to say, London or Ireland or something. He's definitely not American. I didn't know until later on into the season. But go ahead.
No, and then Luis Guzmán was playing a Mexican,
mm-hmm.
and even his accent wasn't, you know, Luis Guzman is the, you know, Puerto Rican dude. He's been in a lot of films, great character, actor.
Yeah, yeah.
His accent was way off too.
Right.
As a Mexican actor.
Yeah.
You know, I think Gacho was a Mexican, right? Gacho? Or was he Colombian?
I think he might have been, I don't know. He was, I think he was Colombian. Was he part of Colombia?
Yeah. We're
going to find out.
We need some
out.
Research.
Yeah, either way, though, the casting is interesting. The show is great. I've been asking around to see how accurate it is to the Pablo, you know, mythology and how true it is. But I've been watching. I got to say, it feels as though it's a movie. It feels, every episode feels as if it's shot as a movie.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know how, I would love to see the behind the scenes director's, you know, director's commentary of the show. So I started watching because season two dropped and everyone's
going crazy. How far are you into season two already?
I just got into when Pablo escapes the...
Whoa, let's not...
No, people know this
stuff. I know, but let's not fuck it up as a plot
they know.
Point.
They know this public knowledge. Pablo.
I know you. I know there's certain shit.
I mean, it's historical.
Historical.
Look it up.
Yeah,
but
you look it up.
I'm talking about how it was being brought out. I know certain things
Does Pablo
happen.
Die?
I know Pablo dies, but I just want to know, are you into season two, D?
I'm into end of season one.
Okay, I bet.
I'm in season two real deep.
Okay.
And I really don't want to watch it no more because I really don't want to see Pablo get caught.
So wait, so
Pablo's a great guy, isn't he? He's a great guy.
So wait, so you've built some. Are you rooting for Pablo in a way?
The way that it's shot, like, because you live with Pablo in the show. Like, you live with him. He got a bunny rabbit and shit.
Yeah, for his daughter,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He good playing guy. With the kids, you know. Good. He love his wife. I wish I could come home and do how Pablo do with his wife.
You
like,
can.
Like, shit, no, I'm just saying. Like, shit that would piss you the fuck off at home.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Pablo come in like, it's not a fucking problem.
Yeah.
Like, when, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a whole lot of me. But I'm saying, like, when somebody fucked up and you know what I'm saying, did something he said don't do, and then it fucked up the whole situation. And then, you know, it came to a point where they were arguing, like, you know what I'm saying, his people were arguing back and forth, and he listened to the shit, and it was blatantly they motherfucker fault,
right?
But he came in, no, it's not your fault. You know what I'm saying? It's not your fault, it's all good. It's like, man, that was a fucking fault. But okay.
Oh, he did that for his lady.
Not his lady. It was his mama. His mama.
Oh, yeah.
You the one giving. Now you. I'm trying not to give away the plot points.
No. I just didn't know. I didn't know what we was at.
I'm trying not to give away the plot points.
I got you.
But he was just so calm.
He's a good guy.
And you know, it's, like I said, you live in his world, so you don't. You're not necessarily. You see some of the other stuff, but you're actually seeing a lot of the good side of him too. So it's written in a way where. You know, you feel a certain kind of way about the character.
He's charming.
There's three things I want to talk to you, Ali, about. And Dame, you could jump in here too, because you saw season two or no?
Nah, I started season two. I watched the first episode, and I've fallen asleep on the second episode. I haven't gotten through it yet. I ain't had enough. Not to say there's anything bad about it, but you know, you're just tired. Are you trying to watch some shit just to watch some shit?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten past.
Nah, you got to have some time.
Yeah, it's real.
You know,
you can't turn your head. It's not one of those.
And you got to read that shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well,
you missed two scenes.
I'm good.
You good.
I'm custom built for that.
We got to read that shit. I'm trying to do other shit.
Exactly.
I got to pause. I got to
hold. Yeah. Hold on. Exactly. I can't check an email and do that. It's two different things.
You gotta read.
Well, that's one of the things I want to talk. I'm happy that because so much Spanish that American viewership is so high on it.
Yeah.
Even with the subtitles.
Right.
And it proves that point that you can have bilingual languages.
Right.
Because when I was working on my pilot, that was one of the questions. You can have Spanish in it?
Right.
And I said, absolutely.
Right.
You know, and I'm happy that this is proof of concept. You
yeah,
know?
I just think but that the story gotta be strong.
The story gotta be
strong.
Characters
gotta be compelling.
And this is Netflix.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? You could turn them captions on or you could turn them off. You know what I'm saying? It's a little different than network TV unless, you know.
You could turn the captions off on a Netflix show?
Yeah.
Well, on Pablo, they have them embedded. Not on Narcos because when they speak Spanish, they're going to put them up.
I like how you call it Pablo. But yeah. That's how much you fucking with Pablo
talk.
Yeah, it's Pablo to me.
Go ahead.
But on other shows, like, I can't, like, on shows when they be doing a lot of whisper talking and shit.
Yeah.
I always turn the captions on. You know what I'm saying?
And just turn the volume down?
No, I keep the volume up, but I turn the captions on so I could fucking keep up.
Right.
And not have to strain to hear that whisper talking
it's
shit.
It's interesting that you call it whisper talking, because I don't know if it was just the motherfucker get old, or if it's something that's specific to a lot of Netflix shows, there's this thing where the dialogue is low as shit. So you turn the volume up just to hear the dialogue. And then when it's going from scene to scene, the music is like, doom, doom. Right, you're right, like, right. Oh, shit. And it can kill your whole vibe.
Them captions, boy.
I have some help
for
that.
But I've been doing that. I've been doing the captions joint
for years.
Like, that whisper talk kills me. I can't hear it. You know what I'm saying?
On the Apple TV, the new Apple TV,
yeah.
You hold the Siri button down, and you literally say, what did he just say?
Uh-huh.
And it will rewind to the point.
Like your lady.
No, it will rewind to the point and give you captions for that particular scene, then take them off.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. Dope. Yeah, I Game of Thrones, I always had the captions on because I don't have time. You don't know what the fuck they talking about. You got to read that shit.
But it's funny because same thing happened with Breaking Bad, and it also happened to me watching Scarface when I was growing up, where you do sympathize with a psychopath.
Right.
You know, Pablo's a psychopath. You know, he blew up that plane with all the people to get at the Cavaria, at the president.
Right.
But yet you find yourself going, I want this guy to get away. And this is a cultural phenomenon that we've had for a long time, even with, like, criminals in America, like, you know, the mobsters. And
right.
This is a fascination and this rooting.
But in a side relationship with Hollywood and the shows, you know, growing up, you know, you see all these kind of shows and superhero, the villain, cops and robbers, you know what I'm saying? And depending on how the story is told and through whose lens it's told, you know what I'm saying, you decide on who you're going
to
root for.
So what I wanted to ask you about, based on that sympathizing of the character,
right?
And again, maybe this is asking too much of Narcos, but do you feel that they did a good job of contextualizing why Colombia got so caught up in the drug trade? And how? Because I almost felt as though the way they painted the U.S. was only as like these guys coming in to help.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But they didn't really do a good job of kind of creating how the U.S. involvement almost also sponsored that the drug war. They made a couple references to it.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
In the first season, they made a couple references to it. But, you know what I'm saying, that's not even just in the show or in TV. In real life, you know what I'm saying, the drug dealers became heroes in real life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They was the ones getting money, getting it fast in your neighborhood. They was like the closest people you knew that had money right there in front of your face. Like, you know what I'm saying? All the time you see stuff that's just on TV, and then you got a guy right next to you that's getting it. Or somebody right in your family that's getting it. Or, you know what I'm saying, you could live in a whole family that everybody's in some part of the game, and you might not see none of the game. You might not see none of their dirty work, but everybody that you love is a part of that shit. And if somebody from the outside looks and says those people are bad people, you like, man, what the fuck are you talking about? That's, you know what I mean? That's my people. That's all I know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think that show in particular kind of shows you how that phenomenon even comes about. Because when you do and you are taking care of people and you put money on the table and you're feeding people and you're feeding whole neighborhoods and you're building shit for people to live in, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to root against you. And especially when you're killing motherfuckers up.
I mean, he was killing. So what I wanted to see, and I haven't seen season two yet. I wanted to see... I've been reading myself about, I want to know about Pablo's childhood to contextualize that his demons, because that dude was, I mean, he's a psych, he was killing people left and right.
But in that game, that's what come with.
No,
the,
I know.
That come with the job.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm hoping that there's consistency between all these types of drug lords.
It come with the job. It's just
they get hugged enough.
There's got to be that.
That's but it's just like, all right, say like,
get enough hugs.
Just like when Obama got elected, and I was like, everybody love Obama.
Obama got a lot of hugs.
You know what I'm saying? But
I read about it.
Obama got a lot of bodies right now, too.
Well, that was, you know.
That's part of the job. You know what I'm saying? Obama got bodies.
I'm sure he got bodies.
The ones we saw.
Look.
He got Osama. They got Saddam Hussein.
And he got, what's his name? Gaddafi.
That's just the ones we know.
He got a lot. He got some shit.
That's the ones we know.
I think what it is, too, is it's entertainment. And to your example, it's... You know, knowing people personally, right? So when you're doing a show about Pablo, you know, or you live in the same hood as a drug dealer, you get to see them personally, right? If you watch a show about Pablo, they have to they got to flesh out his life. When you watch the news, they just report in the foul shit.
Right.
This guy killed X amount of people. This guy had this many drugs on him. This guy is responsible for da, 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 da. They just report the news. So it's real easy when it's cut and dried to be like, oh, he's a bad guy. You know what I mean? Because you don't know anything beyond the surface outside of what they just reported. But when you you've seen this cat do certain things that affect the neighborhood around you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's actually been charming when he's seen your grandmother or something like that. You know he's killed people, but he still opens the door. He's a nice guy. He honks the horn. You know, you watch Pablo, you watch fucking Narcos, and he loves his wife. He loves his kid.
His
he
mom.
Fucks with bunnies.
And, yeah.
You know what I mean? He dressed like Jerry Seinfeld when he came out. You know what I mean? So you like, wow, I'm getting to see a little bit more because you know that he ain't shit. You know that historically. Like, the shit he's done is fucked up. But it's like, damn, this guy's kind of charming. This guy is kind of, he's a nice guy. He's all right. I mean, not a nice guy.
Yeah, but he went out there, he got it. He was the chief getter of all getters.
Yeah. I mean, he became, you know, and then as high as he got, just the level of fucking outlaw he was.
He was an outlaw, total outlaw.
But it was to the point where you got through the first season.
I'm almost
right?
done with it, yeah. But you can talk. I mean, it's so, public story.
I mean, the man building his old prison that looks horrible from the outside and it's like a club
bananas
bed
inside.
That shit right there is one of the top five mythology. Like, what? That's the illest shit talking point. Oh, yeah, I had to build my own prison. We was in that bitch swimming. They thought we was in there doing hard time from the outside. We were living life,
and then he pressured the government to. Yeah, he did it. He did it. Like he manipulated that situation for him completely.
Yeah,
we're gonna take off the extradition law, and I'm gonna build my own prison.
That's crazy,
but that's what happens when that money becomes systematic money.
Yeah,
what you mean?
When it becomes so much money that it's become systematic. Like, I didn't really understand like how drug culture became so prevalent in Miami, right?
You're talking about like the seduction of being a drug.
No. The money, the actual money.
Start making shit move.
Right.
Start making jobs. What I'm saying is, in the '90s, PBS had a documentary, and it was on basically all these guys, but strictly from the lens of Florida and Miami,
right?
And how, you know, the Benz dealership that everybody bought their Benzes from was, you know, what I'm saying, a drug front. You know, for one of the, you know, cartel cats. And they sold so many fucking cars, you know what I'm saying, from that one spot. It was booming. But then when the drug shit went away, you know what I'm saying, that business totally
tanked.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This shit just left. No more. You know what I mean? It's an empty ass building on 7th Avenue in Miami that's just a fucking...
Gutted. Yeah, straight up.
Look like Detroit. You know what I'm saying? But when they talked about the amount of money that the cocaine business was bringing into the state, it was the GDP of the state. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The gross domestic product of the state. That means it was making the most money of any other product in the state, which means it created the most jobs. That's when it becomes systematic. Now, shit relies on that money.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you take down on the smallest level, if you take down a drug strip in Miami, say 15th Ave, which was a historical drug strip, and Super Bowl came in 98 or whatever, 99, and they shut all that shit down. After all them years, they shut it down in like 2 weeks. You could see the amount of businesses that went down. You know what I'm saying? All of the fish markets and restaurants and the car washes started to die out once all of that money stopped coming through that particular block. And that's what I'm saying. When it becomes systematic, the money he was bringing in, the money he was making was, that's not one block. You
right.
know what I'm saying? That's systematic type of money. He was talking about $400-something million a week or some shit like that.
Something ridiculous.
He was bearing money.
That shit, right? That kind of money right there, that's all everybody's job. Some cities, everybody's job is that money.
That's what I find crazy about it. There's so many interests aligned to that. And I think that, you know, again, I haven't seen the second season, but to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a documentary on PBS. It's a PBS documentary. I had to look it up and see if they still got
it. Yeah,
that
get
right.
the name. Put it on the Facebook page. Speaking of Pablo, I went to go see Young Kanye last night. The Saint Pop. Were y'all still talking about Narcos?
No, go ahead.
I was about to use that transition.
At the garden?
I went to the Young Garden yesterday to
sold
see.
Out?
It looked like it. That shit felt like it. It was interesting, man. It was aesthetically, like just from a visual standpoint, the shit was next level. It's innovative. You know, Kanye always gonna do something that's innovative. So now, how they set it up now is, because I went there, I didn't know. By the ticket price, I figured that the seats was gonna be for decent, but you still couldn't get a clear idea.
Seat map. You couldn't get a map.
I didn't see the seat map, but you couldn't get a clear idea when you sat down. Like, all right, so where's the stage? What's going on here at this point? It's like being on the floor, general admissions, mad people on the floor, and then there was, you know, the seats and shit. So we got a nice little set situation, and we waiting. Now the show was supposed to start at 8 o'clock. But he didn't get on until about maybe 10 after 9. And I think, I really believe that is so that that merch table could get its, like, that
fair merch, share.
Oh, man. The merch table looked like a lineup outside of Supreme. Like, the shit was ridiculous. That's a whole nother side project in going to the Kanye show. If you're a reseller, you could kind of make some paper. You could probably get your ticket worth of money and even more because I started seeing what they were selling in the arena, going eBay that night. Shit is going for 4 to 6 times that. Like, it's ridiculous. Now, the bubble might burst after a while, but the hype is real. Kanye bring out a lot of, you know, a lot of hype beasts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And
now, excuse my ignorance, because I've never been to concerts. Did Kanye have an opener? Were there other acts?
There's no opener at all. So sometimes he has openers, but there's no opener at all. So let me get back to the thing. So there's people on the floor. Never been a guy that's good. I haven't been the guy standing at a concert in a long time. That's commitment. You got to really be
New Year's Eve dropping the ball. You got standing out there.
Yeah, you got to be
commitment.
But I remember there was a time I was the cat and wanted to, like, damn, they're fighting to be towards the front. You know what I mean? You got to leverage all through the show, and you know what I mean. Hope you don't spill your drink or your sneakers. You know what I mean? Hope I don't step on your shit. It was a whole different type of thing. Now I need a seat. You know what I mean? I want to say that. But anyway, so we waited. About 10 after 9, the show finally starts. I think he opens up with the original Father Stretch My Hands. You know, the what he opens up on the album with. But it's like the original joint. And then it's just the lights come on. And this motherfucker, it's a stage that comes out that's over the fucking people standing. Mm-hmm. The stage is in the air. He's over you on stage, like tethered on stage. It's like a big rectangular stage. Looks like a pallet, kind of like a pallet
like
slab.
Like a floating platform or something?
Like a floating platform, exactly.
Glass, you see it through? You see underneath?
No, it's not. You can't see underneath. Okay. Which is interesting because, like, Rihanna had the thing we could see underneath. But Kanye, I guess he don't want people looking at his, you know, his balls. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, got on a skirt?
No, he's jealous. So you don't need to. But it's just a fucking, it's like a platform, but it's over the audience. Like, literally maybe 6 to 10 feet above the crowd. And the crowd is going crazy. Like, they bugging out. So it's almost like the crowd is part of the show. Because the platform moves about throughout the whole shit. Now, it was dope visually to look at. Me, I could have been one of these kids under the platform. Because God forbid, the insurance liabilities got it. The waivers got to be crazy. Because if that shit pop, so it's a few motherfuckers going down. You know what I mean? Like, because there was one part.
Can you even see if you under the platform?
It don't. That's the thing. It don't even matter. But that was the thing that I was bugging out off of. So well, you're going to get to that. But it was interesting because, like, something like he started performing Waves or Niggas in Paris or something. He was like, bounce, bounce, bounce. He's on that shit on the platform by himself, and he's bouncing. And that platform is like shaking like a motherfucker. And I'm like, yo, y'all are wilding. But anyway, it's an interesting experience because it's different for the fan and the performer. Because it's a performer, and maybe because it's lit, but those people on the floor, especially those people under the platform, are probably the livest people in the room. You know what I mean? The rest of the room is kind of lit, but these people are like, they mosh and they going crazy. But the thing is, Kanye's over them, so he can't even really connect and pull that energy all the way. Like, he got to lean over to kind of see them, and they can't really see him. So it's an interesting transfer of energy going on. Typically, it's like from the stage out. You know what I mean? This time, it's like, it's a whole relationship given to the two of them. That was cool. Just innovation-wise. Other than that, though, he's kind of obscured. Like, you see his silhouette more than anything. Mm-hmm. You'll see, like, on the jumbo screen, it's still, like, there's, like, a filter or something on it. You know what I mean? So you can't really fully see him. Mm-hmm. You know it's him, but you can't, like, you can't see no, like, he can't make no expressions. He's not, you know what I mean? He's just rapid, a shadowy figure rapid.
Right.
Silhouette.
It's a silhouette. There's no cameos, because ain't nobody climbing up on that shit. Because you got, I don't even know how you get on there. And then at the very end, the end, it was a little abrupt. Oh, fuck the end. He ends it with ultra-like beams. But they like these people.
And nobody was up there with them?
Nah, I thought Chance was going to come out because they started the making a hole.
This is the track.
No, okay. It's the track.
Oh, to track.
Yeah, it's pretty much track.
He went cheap on y'all.
He spent all the money on the stage. Or that insurance. Yeah. That insurance is expensive. That insurance got it. That shit, we can't have no fucking missteps. And that merch table got to do numbers.
Right.
Because Kanye did say he's about $53 million in the hole, so he needs
drama. He's trying to get it back.
Yeah, please.
He'll get it back.
Because I will say this. I've been to, like, I went to Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark felt like it had more of a narrative to the show. Mm-hmm. This one, it didn't really have a real narrative. He did a lot of the album, but it wasn't, like, exclusively the album. Then there was a point where he was just doing, you know, verses off of shit. Like, the second record he did was a Drake record. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The shit with him.
How much time did he do?
He probably did about maybe at least two. At least two. Maybe two and some change. I mean, it was a healthy ass concert. It was getting to the point to where, like, you know, you get tired and you realize you're dealing with a motherfucker with a catalog. Cause then at this point you start thinking about what you haven't heard. You know what I mean? You're like, damn, all right, well, shit. We've been here 2 hours. Fuck, he ain't do ultra light beams yet. He ain't do fade yet. So no, we got at least this time, you know. Mm-hmm. But when he got to the end of the shit, it was cool. But what I'm saying is there's one part, I think they're gonna have to tweak it as it goes along. But there's a part where during ultra light beams, they like making a big ass hole, right? So I'm thinking, okay, like in the hole where everybody's there, so making a big ass hole, and they like using flashlights and everything, and they looking at the ground or whatever, and they're like, they got like bomb detection suits on. So at first, you know, I'm thinking maybe that's part of the show. Maybe some wild shit's gonna happen. Maybe Chance is gonna come out. You know what I mean? Maybe that'd be a big look for him. Then after it went on a little while, I was like, maybe these niggas is really looking for bombs. Because I've been in situations where I went to a Texas Rangers game, and in the middle of the game, they just like went to my section and just got everybody up and started looking for bombs for like 5-6 minutes. I was like, ah, y'all can sit down. I'm like, huh? So they looked. I'm like, are they looking for bombs? Then after a while, I'm like, we couldn't be looking for bombs during his set because he would be beefing.
Right.
But he's still performing. And then they move all this shit, and it like kind of built this bit of drama. Like, okay, what's gonna happen? And then finally the platform goes like slowly down.
They had to make sure that insurance was straight.
Make sure nobody got hit. Hey. But the platform comes down so slow and anticlimactic. It's like, and you just see this nigga, you see the dude jump up like it's like a carnival ride. At this point, dude comes up, untethers Kanye. Kanye gets off, takes off his jacket, throws it to one guy. That nigga just walks out the arena. He don't say goodnight or nothing. It took at least a good 5 minutes for the arena to be like, wait a minute, is that it? Is that how you gonna end this shit? And it was over.
Hey, them cats and them suits was from the insurance company.
Hell yeah.
Like, well, if they gonna come, they gotta wear these suits, dude.
But yeah, but overall, man, it was a good time. It was fun out there. If you get to go and you want some merch, get there early. And get a couple extra pieces if you could afford it, because you could probably make a little come up.
I just picture Kanye getting calls with artists. Yo, Kanye, who does your insurance? Who's your guy?
I mean, for real. For real.
Like a good neighbor.
Yeah.
State Farm is <Ta-da>. You know, you should call Kanye, because I saw him do a show at the Garden.
He knows insurance.
He knows insurance.
He knows premiums and waivers. Ah, shit. What's good with you, Muhammad?
Hey, man, ain't nothing, man. It's the fall, man. Shit, kids going back to school.
Yeah.
It means I could get fully back on the grizzon.
This your season, huh?
Yeah, this my season, man. You know, I was I'm a child of a teacher.
Okay.
So you know, okay. I've been on a school calendar my whole life, pretty much. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
So, you know, the summers was the summers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The fall was get back to it.
Uh-huh.
You know, have, you know.
Back to work.
Get fresh, get back to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, you go to college, the same situation. Then, mm-hmm. you know, I had kids pretty much not too long after college. So
okay.
I was right back on that same schedule. So a lot of my businesses was started in the fall. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So because, you know, you spend that summer really getting shit right. Then the fall is get back to work.
Turn over a new leaf.
Yeah, so, you know.
I used to be so turned off when school came back.
Man. Oh, yeah.
As a kid, I used to dread it.
Nobody like that shit.
I used to turn up. I used to love the summers, but, you know what I'm saying, I enjoy aspects of all this shit. So I had my summer shit.
I see what you're saying.
But, you know what I'm saying, I had to, you know, get back to school, you know what I'm saying, check your traps, you know what I'm saying, how they looking this semester. You know what I'm saying? Who you got in your class? Who you going to line up?
That first week is fun. After week two, then you realize you back in school. You back to school. Here go. First week, you get fresh. You go all of that hot shit. But second week, you're like, ah.
The funny thing for me was watching girls I didn't have crushes on develop the next year. Like, so-and-so's coming up. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I was a girl named Daphne in my grade school, junior
high
school.
Shout out to Daphne. Wow.
Daphne came back, I think it was eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
That summer did something to her. Uh-huh. She came back. Developed.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
I said, Daphne, how were you? How was your summer?
And she said, fuck you, Jack. That happened to me. This girl came back. She was flat back. You know what I'm saying?
And that summer.
All the way up to
nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
That summer after ninth grade, boy, like you said, you know, that she caught her mango season, as they say.
Oh, my
goodness. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? And then she came back stacked up. And I was like, hey, 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 hey. She was like, fuck out of here with that bullshit. You ain't see me last year. Don't see me now. And then the competition is super thick at that point. Like, that's 12th grade. Everybody coming to the plate then.
Motherfuckers with cars.
Yeah, scavengers.
And you had to buy out. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'm going to figure it out. Figure something out.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be able to have that investment eye when it comes to that
type
of shit.
I remember.
I was with you when.
I used to hate particular cartoons because they signaled that it was time to go to school in the morning.
What cartoons?
For me, it was Sailor Moon on Channel 11.
Oh, I never got into that. I've been hearing a lot of kids talking about that on. That's like manga, right? Or
it's a manga cartoon, Japanese. But I want to know you guys, like, what was the TV show that signaled? Oh, damn! Now I got to get up and.
Nah.
I don't know if I had anything like. TV related.
The kids didn't run the TV in my house. My grandma ran the TV, and so it was the news or silence.
Yeah.
let you know it was time to get to school was that people started moving around. You know, I was like, oh shit, time to get up.
Yeah, it was kind of.
Y'all watch the news coming up?
It was a lot of news.
You watch nothing.
Or the radio.
Yeah, you listen to the radio in your room.
To the radio when you're getting ready, ironing your clothes or whatever. I remember back in the days, that was like at Lisa and Dre. Woohoo, going way back. That's like high school. They was doing the roll call. Yep. What's up, y'all? What you got to say? Who's on the phone with at Lisa and Dre? That was
yo, this shit just came from the Bronx.
Yeah, that shit. I remember that. That was really it. I remember listening to the radio, hearing later, you know, whatever was hot at the moment.
Yeah.
It wasn't, everything was really just background. It wasn't anything that like triggered me in the morning.
Nah.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to think.
I got a second question.
Go ahead.
Did you guys do your outfits the night before or that morning?
It depends. Like first day of school. That might have been three days.
That was planned out when you was buying that shit. Like, that might have been his first day right here.
All you could hope is, first of all, it'd be like, wait till I kill him. But you better hope nobody got nothing to say with you. Because that's the thing. That's about as close to fame as you get in school. When you come through with some fresh shit or some killer, if you got some mean-ass sneakers or you are famous... Until you come across another motherfucker with the same kid. You're like, I was famous for four periods.
Right.
Yeah, fourth period, I wasn't famous no more.
It was a certain era where, you know, where starching your clothes and having them shits real pressed and your crease real sharp was the thing. And so you had to do that shit the night before. So that era, which was all middle school and, like, you know, first like ninth grade was you had to iron your shit the night before because, you know, to get your iron right, that is going to take you about 2 hours.
Take some time.
Get shit together. And
2 hours?
Hell yeah. To get your starch gang together?
He was hitting some Houston starches.
Like, listen, man. Hell yeah, it's a Houston starch. If it's a Houston starch and it's not the cleanest,
yeah.
Mind you, you have to, to get the right starch, it's like the shit you got to mix yourself.
Uh-oh. So no Niagara.
It's the Argo shit. You know what I'm saying? You get the Argo starch powder.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Get you a bottle. Mix that shit up to your right formula. And then, serious? You know what I'm saying?
Like crack.
Buy the Coke.
You know when it's the right formula?
Because trial and error, you got to know which going to get your the crease that you want. Which, uh-huh. You know, make it lay down how you want.
I think I'm from a different era because I know my brother clowned me. Well, I think it's regional, too, because I remember there was a point where I was putting a crease in my jeans. My brother was like, yeah, you creasing your jeans?
Yeah, no, it's definitely.
Clout the shit out of me.
I'm from the South, so you know what I'm saying?
They creased down
New York, you know what I'm saying?
Did a flat front.
Just flat front, just baggy flat front.
Yeah.
Back then, you know what I'm saying? And it eventually got to that, but at this point, that shit was a crease.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or
2 hours.
They had another situation. About seventh, eighth grade, where you had the starch on the inside of the pants and no starch on the out. So you had the shiny inside of the pants with the matte finish outside.
So what are you flipping inside the shoulder?
Nah, you just iron the inside, like the inside of your inseam.
No, I take that, but what do you mean? So what's showing on the outside?
Nothing, just your regular pants, right?
Right.
So when you iron them, when you do the inside of the leg,
it's shiny inside.
You got the shiny inside with the crease separating the matte finish from the shiny side. So,
nah, what do you mean? Yeah. So it's a two-tone pant?
It's a two-tone pant. Oh, after you finish, okay. It's a two-tone pant. And it works. It works best on a corduroy, a gap corduroy at the time.
Because
the matte is real matte, okay. And then the shine is real shine.
Fucking creaseology.
I know, it's creaseology.
So that shit right there was a science. And you could fuck it up. Because if you got too much starch in your starch, you'll burn it, and then that shit'll have a burn mark on
it. I know that gray.
Not even gray, it'll be brown because you got too much starch, like too much powder.
Yeah.
So now you got to start over. You got to fucking get another pair of pants and wash them. So
you weren't a cleaner.
It would wash out. The starch
Wash out. It's just starch. But if you burn it on it, then you fucked up your look.
Right.
So now you gotta, you know what I'm saying, go back.
2 hours though? What are you doing? What's your process?
Your whole process.
So mixing the starch, what's the process?
You gotta mix it, and then you gotta fucking get your, once you lay it out, first you gotta lay your pants out.
Look at the elbow grease even in the act.
Listen, you gotta lay your pants out so there's no folds on the bottom side.
Yeah.
So when you put the crease on,
when
you put the starch on, the starch just go on smooth. You know what I'm saying? But if you got little bumps on the other side, your pant,
it's gonna be nasty.
Then you're gonna have them lines.
Okay.
So you gotta, you know what I'm saying? You gotta work your way through that.
Uh-huh.
Then you get each little segment you gotta hit with maximum authority.
Hilarious.
So maximum authority.
It's about, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna take you about an hour sometimes.
Some real shit.
But when you get into it, what you try to do is you try to iron a few pants.
Right, get them done.
Try to get your pants done. So you might do that on Sunday, or you might, if you wash your clothes in the middle of the week, you're trying to get your starch in.
How long your crease last?
That shit ain't going away.
Your crease will last all day?
If you do the shit right, this shit is not going nowhere.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? That you can stand them motherfuckers up by themselves.
They'll
stand in the corner.
Yeah, I've seen
If you do
Did
it
you
right.
Did you get compliments? Like, yo, I see you, fam.
I mean, at this point, that's just to stay in the fresh game.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the minimum standard.
That's the minimum standard.
You have to have that crease in there.
Then, you know what I'm saying, it's a whole lot of other things you had to do to get your fresh on, but the starch and the crease was the standard. Buy your way into the, that's your price of admission.
You ever come across the rusty iron that'll fuck your whole shit
up? Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
That'll end your shit. But, the rust, start coughing up that emphysema.
In the starch game,
you don't
use water in the iron. So that's where you.
What do you do?
Because the steam will fucking keep the pants from getting dry. Your starch won't dry if you got the steam.
Dude, this is a TED Talk.
This is new shit. New shit.
Yeah, if you got steam, it won't let your.
Have you taught your kids how to iron?
Like, no,
hey,
I mean,
they know
how to
iron. It ain't
the starch game like that no more.
Ain't the starch game no more.
But,
so from a different era, from the starch game.
Could you go to the cleaners and say, hey, put the crease on here? Was that a possibility?
Oh, yeah, you could go to the cleaners and get them to do it, but you know. You young, you're in seventh grade and shit. You just
got a whole lot of cleaner money.
You know what I'm saying? You just
got
to get it in where you fit in.
Use that iron.
Dude, this is a sad truth, but I used to feel bad admitting this.
Oh, here we go.
I used to iron. I used to get so lazy in college that I would just iron the front side of my clothes.
What happened when you passed by?
Because ain't nobody gonna see the back. That's my theory. So I would just iron the front.
Nobody see the back.
I would bet like nobody gonna see the back. So I would just iron the front of my clothes and then get out at the door, and the back would look, you know, Clint Eastwood.
That, you ain't have no mirrors in your eye.
I was like, ain't nobody gonna see the back of this shirt. You know what I mean?
Niggas laughing at him. I'm gonna
walk by.
So I'm sad to admit it, but I was that lazy. My mother would be so mad that I said that because she was an iron queen.
My son tried to leave the house one day. He ironed the front of his shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what you gonna do about the back?
Oh, you caught him?
Yeah. I'm like, what? He's like, no, it's just straight. I'm like, nah. Go look at yourself. Go look at yourself in the mirror. And I took it, and he looked. You're straight. So I took a picture of him from the back. Like, boy, look at the damn wrinkle.
Good old at home
question
shaming.
For you guys. I got a little trick I do. When I got a button down shirt that's I'm wearing that's ironed, I'll put the seatbelt underneath the shirt. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right, if you want to, okay. Sometimes don't even put the shirt on.
I see you do that a lot. You'll put it on.
Yeah. You know, just let that lift.
You get down.
Yeah.
You go hit them with a crisp effect.
Yeah, I mean.
Creaseology.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was definitely a creaseology era. You know, that ended, you know what I'm saying, towards later high school, and then it became sweatsuits and shit like that. But during the crease era, you had to have your shit on point. So you had to get in there like a seamstress.
Yeah, man.
Those are some rough years for me. Some rough years for me, man. I had on fake Nike jeans.
Yeah, fake Nike
jeans.
Yeah,
my mama got me fake Nike jeans.
What
man.
A fake Nike jeans?
Basically, my mom would go to 181st.
What a real show. Nike jeans.
Even the fact they were Nike
make jeans.
They didn't, but they would put them on there like.
They might have for a hot second, but they never really caught fire. But go ahead. So what are these fake
mom,
Nike jeans look like?
In her attempt to get me some brand name clothes, she would go to the stores in 181st in the Heights.
Yeah.
And she would pick something out that she thought was brand name.
Right.
This is Nike jeans. And I was like, number one, does Nike make jeans?
Right.
And two, I think this is a fake.
Yeah.
And I was rocking that to school. It was the high school was rough for me the first couple of years, man. It was a rough couple of years, man.
Everybody has a couple.
Yeah, you just have to figure out. You gotta, you know, figure out where you're gonna fall into the whole paradigm of all that shit. You know
Builds
what I'm
character.
Social dynamics, who your friends gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Then your clothes and all that stuff, that matters. But really, it's going to weigh you fall into the social stratosphere.
And my shame ran so deep that I started to, like, I put an emphasis on my intellect. That's what I would, whenever cats were snapping my clothes, I'd be like, yeah, but I'm good at math. That's what I would yell back. It was awful,
you didn't yell that
it
shit.
Was awful. I'm winning in bio.
Hilarious.
I mean, what was your friends like?
I had a core crew of I'll be honest, man, it was geeks. You know, we went to computers and technology.
Would they want to hear that type of shit?
What you mean?
will it be news to them when they hear that they was geeks?
They knew we was into Nintendo and video games.
Shout out to them. I hope they listen to this shit. Like, motherfucker.
A lot of kids was into Nintendo and video games.
Yeah, but I couldn't really roll with that crowd that was like hip and fashionable. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was like, let me play I'm going to stay on my lane.
Mm-hmm.
I did play basketball. That was the one saving grace that got me into the social circle.
That's a hood passport.
Yeah, I knew how to hoop.
Yeah,
so, it's interesting. It is interesting finding yourself, your lane, where you fit in, because it could be bumpy.
What was your lane?
I was a funny nigga. I got in with that.
That's another hood passport.
I got in with being the funny
the hood passport.
Yeah, you know what it gets you through. Like, you know what it gets you through. If you can fight real good, then maybe you intimidate enough people to win. Now you're cool. Mm-hmm. If you can run fast, if you would give the dude that get
you
all
sound
the
like
girls.
An X-Men school. Like, what's your power?
Nah,
yeah,
it's
that's
true.
For sure.
If you know how to fight.
If you fight, you tell jokes, nobody don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Right. They leave you the fuck alone.
It's a lot of that. If you played sports, that could help you out. You know, it's interesting now to think about it. When you break down most kids when you went to school, like, who was cool just for being themselves and just being a cool motherfucker? Slim.
Slim,
very
slim.
Slimmer than you think. It's only a few people that just got away with just, oh, that's all.
Me.
Yeah, that's just them. They just cool. And you got to admire that.
And the envy I had of those
especially
people.
Especially if it's real.
I have so much envy. Look at him being himself.
Exactly.
look at him.
With nothing to lean on.
Look at him doing him.
Nothing to lean on. Nothing to lean on. Just regular
no
ass
chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Just cool motherfucker. Everything is just chill.
Not overcompensating.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I try to do a whole lot. But where'd you find yourself?
Well,
what was your lane?
Well, no, I had a crew from all the way back. So by the time we got to high school, it became it was like a hodgepodge. You know what I'm saying? We had these different characters in our crew, but we were all cool since like second grade because we grew up in the same little block. Uh-huh. So we had some of us could dress and had the clothes and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? We have, a few funny niggas, you know what I'm saying?
Well, what were you? I was
the cool nigga. You know what I'm saying?
For what? What brought you cool? Hey, the regular cool. See this shit? That was just me.
I just showed up.
That was my senior commendation in the yearbook. I was a cool nigga.
Are you serious?
You
being for real?
Cool nigga.
Nah.
You being
for
real? Oh, cool. Give it up for yourself. Your valedictorian cool nigga.
He invented the spin move. Everybody, give it up.
But
look at that crease.
Look at that crease on him.
My shit transformed over time. Like in elementary, you know what I'm saying? We had, we was just kids, you know what I'm saying? We ain't fuck with nobody, but if it got to it, we fought. You know what I'm saying? We weren't scared to fight. You know what I'm saying? So from, elementary, that was like, okay, them niggas, all right, they'll play ball, they'll do whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's certain little things you had to be able to do without being outcast. You had to, play your sport.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Tell your jokes or fight.
But what was your signature thing? I know you were cool, but one thing about Ali.
Wait, he is.
What would they say?
Like I said, it evolved. You know what I'm saying? It evolved. Uh-oh. It evolved over time. Middle school, I had my starch game. I had my, I had my clothes. I started to get my clothes together. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, it's cool cat with the clothes. You know what I'm saying?
Now, your clothes acquisition, was that based on family or were you an enterprise and early on you were getting your own money?
No, I was always enterprising, so I was always.
Were you buying your own gear?
A little bit of both. I bought a few little pieces. I got my school clothes, but I knew how to. I bought my school clothes. It was like, investments. Okay. I'm going to get this, and this. And those key pieces that your parents going to buy. Uh-huh. It ain't going to be a whole lot.
Right.
But you got key elements.
So you had vision as a young kid.
Exactly. So you had that. You
had old vision.
So
fuck? This kid is wise. Watch. These basics. What happens is you can build something.
Exactly. About. You get your basics.
How old were you saying shit like this?
That's what I'm saying, man.
You had to survive out here. So you get your shit that, okay, everybody got gap cores. All right, I'm going to get these colors.
Uh-huh.
I could get three pair.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Then I'm going to get one pair of jeans. Okay. That's four. So you short.
Uh-huh.
You had a deficit of one pair of jeans.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For a 5-day school week.
All right.
So you got to figure out how you going to.
That's some shit.
You know what I'm saying?
No, but just the school week, just the thing about how you just said you're in a deficit. You got five pairs of pants for the school week, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's some shit that I think you live on for a long time. Till you get older, and then you say, fuck it, I'm about to wear these jeans for about three, four days in a row.
But
like, that was some shit that you couldn't do in school.
Right, when you see the same people every day, they're going to call you out.
That like, motherfucker, so
you just had them bitches on yesterday.
Yeah.
So you short one pair of jeans. But then you realize that, my sweatsuit that I got last year, I could rock them sweatpants, on a deficit day. You know what I'm saying? So you rock your sweatpants with some new t-shirts every time, then you won't get called on it, all right? So then.
Crafty.
So then when you make your own little money, then you buy your little pieces. You know what I'm saying? That's when you could, all right, I'm going to get a new Fila this. Or I'm going to get a new Coca-Cola that. Or I'm going to get a, you know what I'm saying? That's how you, then you, by the time Christmas come, and then you get a, we ain't celebrate Christmas, but you might, stumble
you
across a few dollars.
You know, stumble across
you
a few dollars.
Stumble across a few dollars. During the Christmas season. Then you get pieces.
Okay.
By the time I got to ninth grade high school and shit, I knew how to do that shit real good. Then Jordans came out.
So you cracked the code early.
Yeah, by the time high school, I knew how to Fila, Bally, motherfucking Clarks.
You had a good sneak. You had a shoe rotation.
I had a good rotation of nice shit and knew how to get.
That took me a long time.
Knew how to get, okay, I'm going to get these Ballys right here and I'm going to get these Jordans right here. That's my signatures. And then that's, that's $100 on the Ballys. That's 70-something on the Jordans. Then you say, all right. then I'm going to drop down and get a couple of pairs, you know what I'm saying, $40 here, $40 there, like, you know what I'm saying, the Nike Wimbledons or some you know what I'm saying, some standard joints that'll look fresh, but dang, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, banana crazy.
They're right. Not crazy, but they'll keep you looking good. You know what I'm saying? So then once you set it up like that, I'm coming to school with the gear. Then we discovered Roland, who was the barber. Mm-hmm. He was the young barber in the barber shop. His daddy owned the spot at their house.
Mm-hmm.
His daddy was the dude, but he was like the creepy daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, okay.
Kind of like try to lean his dick on your arm. like you were sitting on the motherfucking shit. He like, hey!
You want to fade, huh?
So you got to keep your arms on the inside of the chin, shit.
Ah, shit.
And then his other son.
Anything for a shape up, right, D? I'll let you put your dick on me for a shape up.
Nah. You know to go up in that bitch with your arms inside the damn rails.
That's a shame.
Then his other son, he was good, but he was, you know what I'm saying, he was kind of crazy. And then Roland was a young one. He was probably like 12, 13. When
in the shop cutting.
Damn. So he was a little dude
prodigy.
Hell, for real. So he was in there, but nobody would go to him. And then I'm like, shit. He was like, yo, I got you. I'm like, all right. So
he got you.
I got in Roland's chair, and Roland got me. He killed that shit.
You
he
serious?
Was the best one in the shop as far as the new fades and the fucking parts.
He was a beast.
He was the secret weapon.
And after you, everyone jumped on it? Everyone jumped in?
So just my boys, all us started going to Roland. Then he started to blow, but he always, Thursday nights, he would, you know what I'm saying?
The core crew,
After the shop closed Thursday night, he'd get the core crew. And once we had Roland on the team, it was over.
You guys had a barber in the squad?
You had the barber on the squad, dog. And it was over. It was over. You know what I'm saying?
Have you followed up on Roland? Where's he at now?
Yeah, he in Miami. I see him on Facebook all the time.
He cutting hair still?
I think so, yeah.
Well, he's got to be a sage.
He made us famous. Because. For sure. He made us famous.
Dog, they got a barber on
Does
the crew.
Does he know that? Did you ever give him that?
Yeah,
did you tell him that shit?
I give him the shots
all the time.
This ain't nothing I'm just saying.
Okay.
This ain't nothing
I'm
just saying.
You said that shit about his pops being creepy before?
Not to him. Okay. Everybody in the neighborhood
I hate for him to find out through this.
Everybody in the neighborhood kind of know. But
I want to be the Roland's 50th. He made us famous, y'all.
But when the Jordan logo went from the wings to the Jumpman.
He had it in the back.
Roland was the one put it in the back of my head
that
first.
That was a win.
And that shit was a fucking win.
It should be a movie about this guy.
So you're gonna your signature
became the haircuts
and the style.
The style.
Okay, so they'd be like, there one thing about Ali.
Oh, he came fresh.
Okay.
Yeah, he was fresh.
That's what made you cool. Yeah, where you began your cool.
Cool.
That's amazing, dog.
So at that point, you realize once I got the Jordan 2s, dog, and you know what I'm saying, people say what they want about sneakers and all that shit. Once I got the Jordan 2s and saw the effect.
Life was over.
Of how people reacted. I had shoes before. I had, you know, the fresh whatevers, but the reaction to the
fresh whatevers.
The reaction to the Jordans was totally different. It put you in a whole nother class of reactions. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And therefore, I realized that life was a costume show.
Mm.
You could put them Jordans on. You had a passport to go in this hood however you want it, wherever you want it.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? After that, you know what I'm saying? It was on you.
It's what you brought
and
to
that
the
shit
game.
Still, that shit is still how it is now. Certain shit you could put on that people will give you a certain amount of credit off the rip. Coming to the meeting with your salmon pants on.
It legitimizes you.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, he knows something.
He knows he's about something.
Hey, but you got to believe in it. You can't just show up with the outfit on.
No, you can't believe in the outfit. You got to believe in yourself.
You got to believe in yourself.
You got to know. That's just a passport to get you through.
Yeah.
You're going to need a budget once you get into the city.
Yeah, you got to believe you down. Yeah, when you step in.
When you step in, you got to know where you're going. You got to have
somebody has a mean outfit on, but they ain't wearing it right.
Yeah.
It's like, I hate to say it, but when a girl wear some heels, you can't really walk in them, and you can't
a lot of that,
you know? Yeah. But then it's those that can walk in them bitches know exactly what's gonna happen when they come into the room based off of what they got on.
Takes practice,
you know what I'm saying?
You could always tell when somebody got some shit on and they ain't all the way comfortable with what they got on, they don't, you know what I mean?
Like,
not even no conviction, maybe it's no conviction, but it's just no true ownership of it. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you know, like when the artist first comes out, the record might be bigger than the artist.
Yeah.
Right.
And you that guy with that song, and then you still don't really feel like
you
that
don't move.
Guy yet.
You don't move like that
yeah,
guy, yeah.
Until you become that guy.
Right.
Then
right.
it's like, yeah, that's me.
Right.
I got that song as well. Now right. it's not the song leading. It's, you know what I mean? It's one of those things.
Yeah, it's just you once you know how to carry what you got, you know what I'm saying? And it's like understanding where you fit in the social spectrum. And knowing that and knowing how to come in and utilize that to your best ability, to your best powers, to your advantage,
right.
then, you know what I'm saying, you could go places.
I love that Roland element. That to me is fantastic.
Yeah, Roland took us over the top.
What y'all thinking? You thinking we should help these people?
I guess.
We got to get out of here. unless you want to talk about something.
No, we can help these people out. We got to help people out.
I mean, we're not helping the people. I really want to give some feedback.
To the listeners, yeah.
We're extending the conversation.
You know what I'm saying? We had the show last week was, you know, very different from, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, our usual
yes,
banter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was a little off of the deep end.
It was thoughtful.
Yeah, it was thoughtful, you know what I'm saying? And we had varying reactions, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Some people were like, that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
But then it was just as many people saying, hey, that y'all hit up on something right there.
A lot of engagement.
A lot of engagement, kind of maybe a little more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Especially in on the Snap, uh-huh. you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I got a couple of little...
So, I guess, tee up what... For the people that didn't hear the last episode, what is this in relation to?
What, these
snaps, what we're about to have this conversation
well,
about?
Well, in the conversation, it was a couple of things. It was, you know, talking about, you know, men-women relationships. It hit upon, you know what I'm saying, this era of porn and guys being all the way into porn that sometimes affects their relationship
right.
with women
right.
as well as their relationship with their own private parts.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying?
And it got deep.
That's where the shit got, you know what I'm saying? It got crazy because now, you know what I'm saying? On one hand, I thought, you know, we were over the edge.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, we know guys, we don't, right. that's a pause moment. That's a arrow situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But she put it out there to say, hey.
You've gone too far.
She put it out.
One thing about Ali. Go too far. It's the guy.
Felicia.
Hoping that I know the ledge.
Felicia posed the question of, you know, why don't you guys have these conversations amongst yourselves?
Right.
And I was like, because that just ain't what motherfuckers do. Goddamn.
Vulnerable ass conversation.
We do, but we don't admit it.
But after the show, you know what I'm saying?
It's people.
People start having these conversations.
The altar.
To the point of, you know, it was kind of, almost, it was over the edge, but you know what I'm saying, I manned up, and you know what I'm saying, and here we are.
There it is.
So anyway, gone too far!
So a lot of guys, you know what I'm saying, a lot of guys that hit me, you know, like this is not facts for everybody, this is just, you know, just a small sample size.
I love the qualifiers.
No, because, you know, some people thought we were spouting facts, but we were just having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of guys, their first, interaction with sex was porn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys who hit me.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys are saying that porn does kind of affect your situation when you beat off too much to
right.
it. You know what I'm saying? And then coming to a situation with a real woman.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? It's
a different situation.
It's a broke dick situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow. They call that PIED.
Word.
Porno-induced erectile dysfunction. It's mm-hmm. actually a real occurrence. We were one of the things, we kind of talked about that with Guy Code. That was one of the potential topics. Like that's become a huge phenomenon.
And one guy said Felicia needs to understand it has nothing to do with the woman and everything to do with the dude having way too many orgasms without a sexual partner. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You can only be but so normal after beating off the porn for a prolonged period. So these are the type of conversations
right.
that is going on in the DM. And then another my other guy I was talking to, we was on the phones, and we was here, but we mature, I'm evolved, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
And he was, another thing he wanted to point out, he was like, you know, sometimes you be in a relationship, you know what I'm saying, for a while with one partner or whatever,
uh-huh.
and you know, you're doing it raw dog, you know what I'm saying, with your partner.
Okay.
And then you get out in these streets.
Okay.
And you don't know these people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Put a yondom on.
You know what I'm saying? You got to put your yondom on.
Feel like a leather jacket.
It feel like a leather jacket. It just, you know what I'm saying, it's a broke dick moment again. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was, you know, again, I just wanted to let, you know, again, address some of the guys who did respond, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we could, well, at least I could further flesh out the conversation with with Felicia, who's working on, you know what I'm saying, trying to understand some of this stuff for herself. So, again, definitely appreciate it and all that. Let me see if I can find another one.
What I was going to say.
Oh, this dude right here did talk about the pie situation.
Okay.
Speak on it.
He said, granted, I've had performance anxiety once, but it's different than what my boys describe as pie. Basically, niggas spending too much time touching their dicks. You're not an actual person. So,
you know, well, one thing about masturbation, male and female. No, this is real shit.
Go ahead.
You know the one thing.
I tell you one thing about you, man.
Before we begin, I would like to touch you.
No, but it's tied to like lessening anxiety when people get anxious. Uh-huh. That's just another way of people kind of working out that nervous energy.
Nah, no doubt. So, that's a historical. You know,
that's a historical. Yeah.
Do you journal? Nah.
I don't journal, but it's also now that we're living in this era. You know, earlier on, even if you did.
You sound like such a professor right now.
Even if you were introduced to like sexuality via porn and things of that nature, nowadays, like it's so accessible. Ubiquitous.
Like even back in my day, like I was saying last week, yeah, you saw porn when you was younger, but back then it was like limited to magazines.
Yeah. Right,
it wasn't like you had to be advanced to have, you know what I'm saying, VCR and all that shit. And
you only seen like one or two porns. You knew the woman for years.
Right.
It's almost a relationship. You know what I mean? Now it's so many fucking, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, like somebody else commented saying that shit, I could scroll down my Instagram and scroll down my Twitter and just see various people just getting head.
Yeah.
Like, you know. You
it's
know,
out there. It's different.
It's definitely out there. It's definitely in there. And it definitely has an effect. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, you know, I try not to go too far looking at all that crazy shit because for me, you know what I'm saying? For me, it kind of, it's like, I know I ain't going out like, I ain't doing that shit at the house every day with my wife. Like, shit. All this, I'm like, hey, that's
one
cool.
One thing about my husband, he ain't doing all that crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, we doing some shit, but it ain't going crazy like that. So it's not even in my kind of lane what we really doing at the house.
I think
so
people forget that
it's not sustainable and shit.
But I think people forget. I think as you have some real world experiences, you start to learn that a lot of that stuff is theater.
Right,
of a lot of it.
It's a theater of sex.
Right,
yeah, and then
you know,
when
it's for the camera.
Right,
you know,
and when you make videos and shit, you know, okay, they cut. He took a break. You know what I'm saying? They came back.
There's a director. There's angles. Shots are blocked.
But I don't think there's enough of that discussion that goes on. I think there's a missing link there. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that you find that out through trial and error.
A lot of error.
You know, I was talking to this woman. We'll wrap up in a few, but I was talking to this woman who she was saying that she can't really have sex without being drunk. You know what I mean? Right. Because if it gets rid of all of the awkward anxiety being intimate.
Right.
And my thing was, well, then you're not really being intimate.
Absolutely. Right. I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
You're just
masking your feelings.
Yeah.
And then she says, when I wake up the next day or when we're done, it's very awkward and I get out of there and we typically don't have anything.
Yeah, you're not really putting yourself in the situation.
You're not making yourself like emotionally accountable. And you should know that as anybody that's having sex, That shit don't always look like when we were younger. Maybe it wasn't explicit, but it was fucking showtime with the saxophone in the back and everything looked elaborate. Every
dim lighting.
You know what I mean? Everybody's picking that woman up and fucking her all around the room.
Theater of sex, man.
Right.
Come on.
And you think that's what sex should be as a dude. Like, I gotta perform.
I lift up.
What?
Like I say, it's not sustainable. Like, you know, you see people on the internet, you know what I'm saying, on Twitter, you know, they're walking and they're getting head and all that. I can't go home and get head all the motherfuckers. Hey, baby, give me some head.
Yeah.
So you set yourself up for the wrong move.
Looking crazy.
And also, I think we're pouring does to it eliminates the the way you good, you know, I'm not an expert again, but people lead up to sex.
Yeah.
It's a lead up. You go out to dinner, movie. Mm-hmm. So there's a comfort level that peaks
right
during the, you know, during intimacy.
Right. It's intimate. Yeah. It's real intimacy. Yeah. It's not right. Your laptop.
Right.
Your laptop.
On the laptop, they just right in there.
On the laptop, yeah. nobody complains. Nobody sighs.
No, nagging.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't no, this don't feel right. Let's change. You know what I'm saying? That shit don't happen in the fucking porn. And that shit hits you in real life. You're like, oh, lie. What the fuck you mean?
And also, there's an editor. There's post on these videos. Right. Doing, can you add that clip?
In real life, you got to be able to be fluid with that
shit.
Yeah,
you got to be spontaneous.
All right. Okay.
Right. But it's crazy.
But, you know what I'm saying? Definitely wanted to appreciate everybody, you know what I'm saying,
for joining that
conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
And to Felicia, you see, we are starting to have this conversation amongst men.
I like that it feels like a safe space for cats to say certain shit.
Yeah, and we will honor your confidentiality.
Yeah.
Bring Vlad into the conversation. He got this D on the snap, that laughing Vlad.
I'm on the snap.
Ali was like, don't just give me the conversation.
Yeah, Ali's a therapist.
Talk to everybody.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway. But no, you know, it was cool, though. Like, you know, like I said, it's definitely eye-opening because I ain't in the streets like that and I didn't grow up in this generation.
Quick question for you, Ali, and the guys. Do you think there's more pressure on men to perform than women sexually?
I think it's probably both.
And we're all men here, so it's a biased conversation, obviously.
It's a biased conversation.
Yeah, but I think everybody come into the room with their own set of things.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
You, if it's your first time, you won, you know, got to wonder if your shit is up to par.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If with her, she trying to, you know, maybe her body or maybe, you know what I'm saying, whatever. It's everybody coming to the room with a certain thing. And you know, I feel like, you know, I always felt like it was my job to make sure that shit is all calmed down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Control that
environment. That was just me. You know what I'm saying? But everybody come into it with something.
Yeah.
Everybody got their own history.
Great advice.
Everybody got their own history, what they've been through, what they know. You know what I'm saying? You might get in the room with somebody that know way more than you. Like, oh, Lord, okay. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to be willing to learn.
Where'd you train?
Where'd you train at? What gym you go to?
Exactly.
In the county of Dade, nickel.
Oh, man. Anyway, where y'all going to be at, man? Where you going to be at, Vlad?
I will be, I'm in the city this whole week, man. So I'm performing all week. I'll be at the Stand. I'll be at the Comic Strip. I'll be at Dangerfields.
I'm here. Gotta probably bounce out a couple of dates, you know what I'm saying? Later in the month, like next 2 weeks. This week I'm here, it's back to school week, so the kids is trickling back to school. So I'm making sure they get off right, you know what I'm saying? Get this fall kicked off, you know what I'm saying? Everybody straight. And then next week, you know what I'm saying? We back on the grizzine.
Yeah, it is. Back on the grind.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Charlotte this weekend at the Comedy Zone.
Nice.
Charlotte Comedy Zone, September 8th through the 10th. Get your tickets now, cltcomedyzone.com. We're going to have a good-ass time. I want to see the people in the building, all in the conversationalists come out. We're going to do it, you know? And, until next time, tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.